When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Any idea who the current tight end 25 is? And when I read you some of these numbers, you're going to go, oh, you know what? That's not that bad. The current tight end 25 is now the only Seattle Seahawks tight end, Noah Fant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with Noah Fant is he literally was in a three-way, you know, situationship last year. Will be nice, but he was in a three-way last year. Every week, he was in a three-way. And you look at all of his numbers volume-wise, they were low. His routes run, low. His snap share, low. Everything, low. And that's just because there were literally other tight ends. Now, does that mean they're not going to bring in another tight end or two? No. His production premium relative to his usage was top five in the league. A lot of his other numbers, like per target, per reception, yards per route run, like all of those were good. It's just the volume wasn't there. So even if his volume just goes up to, I don't know, 50% more than what it was last year, it doesn't need to be an 80% part of the offense. But it just feels like at tight end 25, I mean, legit, he's back to back with Greg Dulcich, Shane. Has he never done anything? Right? I mean,
no, Greg Dulcich was fun for like three games and he was going to be the next big thing. Yeah. And for what it's worth, and I know it's a, the position has something to do with it. Noah Fant has two tight end one seasons under his belt.
And so, a tight end 13 season. We forget that one. He finished right outside of the top 12. But the point is, he's back to back with Greg Dulcich. How about Luke Schoonmaker, Shane? Does he even exist?
No, he does not. That's not a real person. That's a fun made up
Austin
name,
Knox. Like, do you still like him?
I like Dawson Knox. I would say I will take Dawson Knox
as a play.
I think Dawson Knox is the
number two tight end on Buffalo. He took a pay cut so that they wouldn't cut him.
Let's retract that. Hopefully someone can edit that. For some reason, I was thinking of Dalton Schultz, not Dawson Knox. Yes. Dawson Knox. Yes. Yes.
No, we don't need to edit. I just want to make sure we're talking the same player here. Dawson Knox that hasn't been good
Dawson
in like
Knox.
3 years.
Right,
Johnny Smith. Do we like him over Noah Fant? Do we like him in Miami at all? No?
No, not even a little
bit. How about Daniel Bellinger? You like him if Darren Waller retires? I mean, this is the range where Noah Fant is in, and I'm not saying that he's going to rise up to be a top 15 tight end, and you probably are not going to buy him at tight end 25 prices. You're probably going to have to buy him in the same range as guys like Freiermuth, the Packers tight ends, Isaiah Likely, those types. But we've seen players kind of come back from the dead where we punish guys like Noah Fant because they started so high and their expectation was so high. And because he wasn't a top five tight end right away, we almost overcorrect and say he's garbage. And then he got stuck in a bad situation for a short period of time. You know, the 2 years he was in Seattle and you were like, he's buried.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he's eligible to hit free agency, it's like, damn, Seattle really should bring him back. And they pay him handsomely to come back. So he's a good buy, but that was one that I had that I think easily, if he just has a decent year because of the name, I can see him up in the top 18, top 15 tight ends going into next year. As long as he's just a starter and he's not in this weird committee, I think he'll produce because all of his ratio numbers say that he'll produce probably in that top 15 range. So you got a third one you want to put out?
Christian Watson. He's fairly cheap. He is obviously sharing a field with Jaden Reed and Romeo Dubs, who we just talked about. Again, I'll take Jerry Jeudy over him. Clay talks about it all the time, right? There's this likability factor or this factor where people want a player to do well. And if they do well, then the community goes gaga over him. Like George Pickens happens to be one of those guys. I still think Christian Watson is one of those guys. If he can stay on the field, right? He does need to see his target share increase a little bit. Three Packers with the 17% target shares at wide receiver is not going to get it done. Like you do need one of them, the alpha, but that could be Christian Watson if he can stay on the field and if he can increase his touchdown rate. He's a dude that could fly up the board. He does have a lot of ifs to him, but for his cost, it's worth it.
It's hard to say what receivers in this year's class you would take over Christian Watson, but how many would you say there are that you would clearly take over Christian Watson, not knowing the landing spots or anything? Would you take a lot of the projected first round receivers over him, not knowing where they land? So you'd take like A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, all those guys over him straight up?
Yeah, Yeah, where we start to get, I'll diverge, is anyone that would take Ladd McConkey over him. That's when we start to get into that realm of, no, I'm good, I'll try Christian.
Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, those guys, the guys that are kind of project to be the peripheral options in this class, even if they get good capital, you'd take a shot on Watson. Okay.
Yes.
Well, my last one, I say the best for last. Shane does not know about this one, but I was looking at this a little bit more, and I like the term likability score. We use ADV, basically artificial dynasty value, and I think it's really trying to factor in what the community is going to do if there's positive news. And we didn't lay out the parameters here that you have to do anything other than just have a window where you're going to go up. So my biggest buy, if I can get them at these prices, is none other, and I'm hedging my bets here on Noah Fant, it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And the sole reason is if he goes out in the first week of the season, Shane, he's the number one option and goes like 10 for 100, it's over. He's the next CeeDee Lamb. Tyler Lockett's gone. He's better than DK. Geno looks back to what he was in 2022, and it's JSN season. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to say it's JSN season for the season, because I guarantee you can see it right now. If he starts hot, he's the next Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Can you see that comp? Man, he's give it time. He's going to be 100-plus catches. Easy. I'm with you on selling what he did as a rookie if you can re-roll and get a little bit of a plus because of the name value, but I don't want to get rid of all my JSNs for this sole reason. I think I'm only sitting on one JSN, and the problem is a lot of times the person that has them is the one that is seeing the rose-colored glasses, and they don't want to sell them for what I want to pay. Do you feel having some JSN for that reason, Shane? You don't want to go to zero for that sole reason.
That's one of the reasons, and also I don't want to trade him for the offers that I've gotten. Again, just because I don't think he's going to turn out well doesn't mean that I'm going to give him to you for the 112 when I think his value is higher than that. It just is. I haven't seen any deals where people are willing to give him up for that low of a return. But exactly like you said, if he comes out and smashes in week one, the heavens will open. Everybody will be on Twitter, you know, just talking about how they always knew JSN was a monster and he was always going to smash, and that he's the wide receiver one of the 2023 class. So you'll definitely be able to profit at that point.
Would you rather have JSN over the following players? Zay Flowers?
No.
Interesting. You think Zay Flowers has a shot to buzz like that? This is where your player takes are getting a little biased, because I just don't see a world where Zay Flowers is like the it factor that people have.
Oh, I got you.
Jordan Addison. I just don't see it with him. I don't see a way his situation ever lends for him to go, oh my gosh, I don't have enough Jordan Addison in Dynasty.
Yeah, and the problem with Jordan Addison is that path does not exist. You know, Justin Jefferson, unless he moves on, there's absolutely no path where he could be a top five wide receiver in Dynasty production or in value-wise.
Does it exist for Tank Dell?
I'll lean it back on the numbers and take Tank Dell. Because there's a world also, as much as I like Nico Collins, that Tank Dell is the actual alpha there. There's also a world where neither of them are, and they just continue to do what they did last year, which would still be amazing. So, no, I'll hold on the Tank Dell in that case.
You already mentioned Christian Watson. They have Romeo Doubs. They have Dontavian Wicks. Jaden Reed or JSN?
Jaden Reed, I'm so confused about. I sincerely don't know what to do with that guy. JSN, because if he pops, I think I could trade him a lot easier than I could, or get a much better return than I could for Jaden Reed.
And another guy that just somehow has managed to keep like top 20 dynasty value forever, T. Higgins. T. Higgins or JSN?
No one likes
T. Higgins is what JSN looks like if he just kind of stays relevant for a couple years. But there's always that hope of, man, like, we've literally waited out T. Higgins's entire rookie contract and a franchise tag for him to leave. And people are still excited about him leaving.
There's not a lot of people, though. There's definitely T. Higgins fatigue. So I'm going to go on the guy where there's some fatigue. Yes.
But pressure.
There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of people, I should say, that are still very much in on JSN. And I know that from when I dropped the Shane Says saying that he's a sell, and I got a lot of pushback from it. So that just tells me the market for him is probably really robust and can only get more robuster if he comes out and has a good week or two.
Check out everything that Shane puts out on Destination Devi. Shane Says, you can find that episode where he talks about selling second year receivers, and JSN was a big topic of conversation in that. So check that out on the Destination Devi page. All our work on Destination Devi, along with everything we're doing here at Trades in 5. And with that, Manic and Chill is out.